The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.
As I was saying to you all earlier this morning, we are going to be discussing at this point in time some of the things that have been taking place when it comes to our fire services. It's a discussion that we've been having for quite some time. Those came back to the front burner with recent developments. Joining us here this morning, a gentleman who will be able to give us some insight into what's going on. Let's welcome to our program, President of the Fire Services Association, Leo Ramkisun. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Mrs. Atish, and good morning to Trinidad and Tobago.
Nice to have you with us here this morning. Just to familiarize our listeners, tell us a bit about yourself, your involvement with the Fire Services Association, and so on.
Well, I am a full-time fire officer, first to begin with. Mm-hmm. As well as I have been the president of the Fire Service Association, Second Division, since about 2015.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So I have been serving in that capacity. And, you know, this Fire Service Association represents fire officers across Trinidad and Tobago. We have approximately 25 stations. Not all of them are operational this morning. And that is generally the major source of our concern as fire officers, not just for ourselves, but for the public as well. We believe that a healthy, properly run fire service is very, very important for the safety and security of the citizens of Trinidad and Tobago.
Well, that's given. We have Safety Mondays where we speak to Fire Officer Jude Rogers about a number of things related to the fire services, and that's an ongoing discussion that we've had. But sometimes fire officers get a bad
rap.
Yeah, the public has a bad opinion sometimes of fire officers, maybe because of things that are outside of their jurisdiction. When there is a fire, citizens don't care about all the politics and who does that. All they want to know is that somebody will respond to their concern, save a life if a life needs to be saved. Some time ago, we had a horrific incident in Siparia, Queen Anne Road, where a mother and child were killed. They died in a fire, and we were told back then that there was a lack of resources. Subsequent to that, we had a number of discussions on the program that said to us that we have less than, or probably about just about 50% of the equipment, fire trucks and so on, that we needed. We saw recently we get two. There was another harrowing incident in Santa Cruz, a 90-something-year-old man died. There was no fire attendant to respond. What are citizens to think this morning? And I'm asking you the question because we need to drill down into where the problem lies in resourcing the fire services. Because without the resources, you don't expect firemen to show up at a fire and take bucket and all the thing. So they are challenged. But we need to identify where the challenges come from so that citizens can have a clearer idea of who to hold accountable. Let's get down to it from the beginning. There was an incident recently. Let's go back to the most recent one in Santa Cruz, where a 98-year-old man died in a fire. And during the video that was streamed live, people were complaining that there is no fire truck. And that's a nice word. There's no fire truck in Santa Cruz, which was a couple minutes away. One had to come from Port of Spain. Why?
So, I mean, let me start off by saying, rest in peace, Mr. Malcolm Diaz, the 98-year-old visually impaired man who passed away, and condolences to his loved one, family, and the community. And, you know, yes, the complaints that there is no truck at Santa Cruz Fire Station is accurate, and it has been ongoing for some time, and it's similar to many other stations. Now, I happen to have been on that scene that night.
Mm-hmm.
I would have been stationed at the Ryson Road station, and I was at that scene. I responded to that call as a fire officer. And I know that members of the public, as you rightfully point out, would lump everyone together, the fire officers, the administration, the government,
everybody getting
the national security apparatus in general. And the fact is that fire officers have no control over where the resources are deployed or what resources are provided to them. They just have to get the job done. So getting to that scene, members of the public, you know, they would have expressed a great deal of horror, anger, a lot of emotions. And we had to, you know, whilst fighting the fire, we had also to deal with them and try to assist them, console those who would have been distraught, family members and that kind of thing. So it's an enormous psychological challenge to manage a scene where you're responding and there is a loss of life and the community is dissatisfied because, rightfully so, there was no response from the nearest station. So imagine, so all of these are the reasons why, as fire officers, we are calling for these issues to be rectified. So why is it, why is that happening?
Mm-hmm.
Well, Satish, if I am to put everything, you know, into one short synopsis as to why that is happening, is really neglect of the fire service. It has to be neglect of the fire service, because for the entirety of my tenure as the president of the association, we have been going through this challenge, making that advocacy for resources to be provided, such as trucks and breathing apparatus sets and other equipment, and on the resources that we need to get the job done as fire officers. And without very much success, many of the issues remain, by and large, remain as is. And what we see is that the procedures to get those pieces of equipment and the allocations that are made available to the fire service for the purchase of trucks and all of these things are not tended to, you know, in the most, you know, holistic and genuine manner from the government, so that you have competing interests that would gain the support of the state. But I think by and large, the support from the state financially and otherwise is not forthcoming as it ought to be.
Yeah, I understand fully what it is you're saying without actually coming out and saying it. Mm-hmm. And when we had the number of discussions during the last incident in Queenham, all of these things came to the fore.
Yes.
That the fire stations have just about 50% of the, if so much, of the resources that they need. We have fire stations that don't have fire trucks, and you have to allocate one fire truck between three fire stations, and yes, it's not the ideal situation. But no, I understand that bureaucracy is a big deal, because when we had the initial discussions, we were told by our Minister of National Security that you don't just wake up one morning and decide you want to buy a truck. It's a long tendering process, and it takes a lot of time and the red tape and everything else. It takes you a year and a half before you can identify and even try to get a fire truck.
But Satish, if I could just cut in there. I mean, it is one thing to say that it takes a long time, but you will not get anywhere if you don't start. It's not a matter of just taking time. We have a decision being made, not being known to most persons, clearly, that they are willing to leave stations undone.
But why? Why would such a situation even be contemplated, leave stations without the resources?
I am not sitting in the cabinet, I'm not sitting in the places where these decisions are made, but if I am to hazard a guess, it has to be a decision to prioritize other things beyond or greater than the needs of the fire service and the needs for safety. It is a willingness to chance it. Why spend $1.5 million or $2 million and buy and order a fire truck to serve Santa Cruz Fire Station when I could use that money to do something else that is more important to me? And if a response is needed, well, you could get SAWA to reach, and it may take 5 or 6 or 10 minutes more, but that is a chance I'm willing to take. That is the mentality we're having. I would tell you, Satish, I have spoken in recent time to fire chiefs in other jurisdictions, like in the United States. And when I mention to them that we have stations that has no truck, they are watching me with amazement. That is unheard of. In those jurisdictions, they have more trucks than stations.
Mm-hmm.
They have trucks in reserve. These stations that we are speaking of in Trinidad and Tobago, all of them are designed for not less than 2 fire trucks, a fire tender and a tanker, and ambulances. What we have in effect in Trinidad and Tobago is no station, with the exception of the headquarters, that have more than one truck. So a lot of them have no truck. And that is a real, I think, it's a step backwards. Yes, we boasting of 61 years of independence, but we have not moved forward from our colonial days.
Yeah, I hear the passion, and I hear the pain as well in your voice, as to explaining what's going on. where are we? We got two trucks recently, but if we are to have a full complement, so we have 25 fire stations.
Yes.
And if I'm to say, well, tell me how many fire trucks and this and that and then we need to take us up to where we need to be. How many do we need?
We need, in effect,
yeah,
we need at least 30 fire trucks. I would say 30 because all of these stations ought to have two. So the stations that does have fire tenders, about 19 of them has trucks out of 25. All of them need another truck. And then you need trucks now to outfit the stations that has none. So you have stations like Santa Cruz, Mayaro. You have stations like Belmont, Mova. You have Woodbrook. Several of these stations have gone without a fire truck for years without a truck. So these stations need trucks. Aside from that, we ought to outfit all the stations with not just one, but two trucks. So that when issues arise, because mechanical problems do occur, even accidents do occur, things happen and trucks come out of service. The public ought not to suffer because of that. You ought to have in reserve. That's how you manage an organization. We are not dealing with this organization as if it is really geared to the safety of the public. And, you know, I have to say, again, rest in peace to Kemba Morris, the mother in Siparia, and her daughter, Zaya, 8-year-old, both perished in the fire. We in the fire service was plunged into sadness. The officers at Siparia Station, they were traumatized. You know what it is to be in a community like Siparia or wherever, and a fire breaks out, and you can do nothing, and the members of the public look into you to save life and to assist, and you can't do nothing. You have to call a truck from Pinal, from another jurisdiction, from another district.
Yeah, and geographically,
lives are being lost. You know how it feels as fire officers. They have to deal with that psychological drama as well.
We need to take a couple messages to take us up to the news, but we've only just begun our discussion.
Yes.
And we've only just scratched the surface as to, because 30 fire trucks, that's a lot.
Yeah.
We catch in there and to get one or two, much less to get the full complement.
Well, we could start off with six, at least the stations that has no truck,
yeah,
at least have a truck and be able to respond.
Let's take some messages to take us up to the top, and after the news, we continue our discussion with us, President of the Fire Services Association, Leo Ramkisoon, drilling down into this very, very troublesome issue. We'll be taking some of your calls as well on the other side. Stay with us. Welcome back. 3 minutes after 8, our special guest is the President of the Fire Service Association, Leo Ramkisoon. We're discussing some of the issues confronting the fire services. Of course, if you'd like to be a part of the discussion, feel free to call us on 627-3223, 625-2257. And of course, your WhatsApp messages, send those to 306-1065. So you outlined to us some of the challenges when it comes to a lack of resources. And that obviously must be one of the greatest hurdles in getting the job done.
Mm-hmm.
But this is not a problem that happened overnight.
Yes.
Actually, this wasn't even though the discussion may suggest, it's not a problem that happened with the PNM since 2015. It's been going on before that.
Yes.
We remember that the People's Partnership opened a fire station and there was no fire trucks to go to it. And it was a big joke at the point in time, but it highlighted how serious the situation was. We have a call. Let's take this call. Hello, good morning.
A pleasant good morning once more, Satish, Mr. Ramkisoon. Right. Mr. Ramkisoon, tell me something. Do you have problems with staffing, or do you have sufficient staffing from time to time? That is, people on the job at particular times. The second question is with regard to fire trucks. If it is that you have a fire in an area, is it, according to fire service policy, can you get assistance from way out of the area? Like, take for instance, if it's in the Pinal area, you may have a fire service in, let me say, Shogunas, because if you don't have others available, is it a policy normally that you can get assistance if there are no fires in the area and these trucks are parked up? And finally, how do you handle if it is that there are no water? My understanding, I'm not quite sure if I'm right, in the fire hydrant, sometimes no water, and particularly in this season where it's so hot, do you have any equipment that you can take water out of any rivers or streams? Thank you. Enjoy.
Right, so let me start with the last question first. In terms of water supply, yes, we can lift water from open water sources, and the general policy in respect of responses to fires, to bring water to the scene, as well as to address the issue of fires that may occur in areas or districts where there is no truck, for example, the Santa Cruz fire or the Mayaro area. Well, the next closest truck, the next closest response team will have to respond. That is generally the policy. So a fire breaks out in Mayaro, for example, this morning, and there is no truck there, then Rio Claro or Sangre Grande will have to respond. Of course, there would be a significant disadvantage to firefighting efforts and the ability to perform rescues and so on, because the length of time it would take to get there is much more than if they were responding from the Mayaro station. So you would have a lot more damage. You would have a greater potential for loss of life and injury and so on. And that is the reality of what occurs. In terms of the issue of staffing, we have not had recruitment into the fire service since 2019. That's the last time we had recruiting into the fire service.
Mm-hmm.
And you have attrition occurring, retirement, true retirement, compulsory retirement at a rate of about 40 officers per year. So, quite obviously, we would be short. And then you have the issue of promotions not having been occurring in the manner in which it should have happened. So the last promotion in the rank of fire sub-officer occurred in 2016. So the neglect of the fire service in general has been, is a all wrong issue. It's not just resources, it is just general neglect. Now, I want to just put forward the views of the Fire Service Association. We are not just complaining of the issue, but we are putting forward a solution. This problem requires a particular type of approach. This is not a problem to leave matters to the normal procedures to address, where the chief fire officer identify what needs to be done and then executes. This problem, we would liken it to where you had no vessel to service the sea bridge between Trinidad and Tobago a couple of years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So it created a lot of problems for the business community, as well as the freedom of movement of people between the islands. And the government adopted a particular approach where they put together interministerial committee, a committee constituted of ministers, the relevant minister, the Minister of Works, the Minister of Finance, the Minister of National Security, the relevant ministers coming together so that they would bring to bear the strength of their ministries and the ability to plan and rectify a fast-tracking process to get trucks. Because if you leave matters as is, sadly, you will not get a truck to outfit the stations anytime in the near future. It takes approximately 18 months to procure a fire truck. That is to order and for them to custom build the truck for the particular station and the fire service in Trinidad and Tobago, ship it in and all of that. That is 18 months.
But
you don't have one in order right now.
Here's the thing.
As far as I am aware,
I would understand the specifications that fire trucks would need to be manufactured for the obvious reason. But in the interim, can we not have out-of-the-box thinking? When you have a fire, unless it's specific, some kind of chemical or oil or grease or something like that, really what you want is water to all the thing. And we have water trucks that people have dime a dozen all over the place.
Yes.
Would it not be a more, let me say, practical or cost-effective at this point in time? I saw some time ago we had 20 vans that the minister had commissioned. I set a van all over the place, and we really don't know what they have on the vans. Could we not, because of the dire situation that we're in,
yes,
take some of these, I don't want to say water truck, but that is what they are, something like a water truck outfitted with the proper pump and hose or whatever else, put a water truck full of water and put it in some of these fire stations, and then so that when there is a problem, these are the first responders. It may not be ideal. I don't know if there are specifications that you need to get to or whatever, but it seems like it ain't that hard. But can we get to something like that or no?
Satish, you know, that's a very simplistic view of the issue. I would tell you firefighting, and not just, we don't only respond to fires, we respond to hazardous material risks in
right.
general.
Mm-hmm.
And the requirements is not just water. Mm-hmm. There are fires that we go on that we cannot apply water. We have to use other extinguishing media. We may need foam. Officers have to be trained and they need special equipment.
Right.
We need breathing apparatus sets. We need a lot of equipment that is contained on a fire truck.
Mm-hmm.
The view that you are sharing
right.
with the public in terms of bringing to bear water truck, let's say from Wassa or something, those are circumstances that we have to deploy or rely on in circumstances where you have no other choice in the moment.
Right.
So there are fires that we will call Wassa. We will call Wassa and ask them to charge the water system so we could get water in the hydrants, or send trucks and assist to shuttle water. We have had those instances.
Right.
Those are instances that we cannot seriously in 2023 be planning as a medium-term solution.
Okay.
I am discussing with you, how do we solve the problem? We are thinking about our children and we are thinking about years to come,
mm-hmm.
later down the road. We cannot seriously be discussing using
right.
the water truck. It's as if the driver is not in the vehicle and we are sitting in the vehicle that is moving and hoping that this vehicle somehow reaches where it's supposed to go.
Let's take another call. We'll get back to this. Hello, good morning.
Yeah.
Hello, good morning, Satish. Good morning to Mr. Ramkisun.
Yes.
I'm looking at the red tape that is obviously hampering your ability to get your job done effectively. Port of Spain, Chaguanas, San Fernando, Manipo. Those three places, I know for a fact, because I pass and I've seen them, have a variety of vehicles that are there, and many of them could probably be repaired. I know many of them for a fact cannot be bought back. Could you use your good office? Because I know that your hands are probably tied as well, but could you use your good office to agitate with the relevant ministry to have what vehicles could be repaired, and what vehicles can be repaired, sold, if only to clear up the space and you know, remove the mosquito trap, and perhaps even gain some income for the ministry that could be probably used to purchase some more vehicles and repair some of the vehicles that can be repaired. I don't know if that's an idea. It's just something I'm putting out there as a solution for the interim now. I thank you.
Yes, thanks for that. Those trucks, when you see them at Chaguanas station and some other stations, even with the Woodbrook Fire Station and so on, it is usually what we would look at as a burial ground. Those trucks, when they are parked up there, they are beyond repair. And again, the procedures in the government does not allow for fire service to just dispatch with vehicles or other equipment for that matter that are now derelict. What has to happen? They go through the process of CTB, right? The Central Tenders Body, that has to be written off. So it's a whole lengthy process. I agree with you 100% that the vehicles should be gotten rid of if we could get some value for them, so that we could use the funds to actually bring some vehicle, you know, on the run, so that officers could use. That would be great. It would also reduce the potential for mosquito and other, you know, other pests,
mm-hmm.
that would occupy the station conditions and pose a threat to officers in general. So I agree with you on all of those things. However, we are the Fire Service Association, and you're right, we don't have the authority to give those types of instructions. We could agitate for it, and we do. But the immediate problem that we are facing right now, you know, involves an immediate threat to life and limb. That's what I'm trying to drive home. As we sit here, we have had 9 deaths in Trinidad and Tobago by fire and related hazards within 2023. In July, August, and September, these 3 consecutive months, we have had deaths. We had a mother and her 2 sons died in August. Ms. Nanku in, mm-hmm. in Sangre Grande. We had Kemba Morris die in April. We and her daughter, as well as we had Mr. Malcolm Diaz, sadly, the visually impaired 98-year-old gentleman. And we have communities that are reeling and are hurting because of these things, especially that the question does arise whether these deaths could have been prevented. In a conclusive statement that it could have been, had there been a truck, but the question certainly arises. For the least, firefighting efforts would have been substantively hampered because trucks had to come from a very far distance, so you would have had that fire doing immense damage before
by the time attended, right? No, you've outlined that to get us up to where we probably should be, we need about 30 fire trucks again, vehicles of various natures.
I must say 30 because you ask a question. Yeah. I mean, 30 is a lot. 30 fire trucks is a lot. That is the you asked me that question.
No, I did.
We need immediate relief.
Yeah.
We need
Let's deal with both.
Yes.
Let's just say I'm asking for a dollar figure because you might have an idea. Mm-hmm. Because many times when we speak of issues like this, the first excuse we get is that we don't have the money. Yeah. And I find that hard to believe because the budget is $61 billion this year, which suggests to me that we could find money, but the priorities for what we're spending money for is, it may not necessarily be what we agree it should be spent on. So I don't buy the, we don't have money for something as important as protecting the nation.
Yeah.
What kind of dollar figure are we looking at for these 30 trucks, if we were to say ballpark?
I think it's such a sad state of affairs when decision makers could discuss the needs of the fire service in terms of we don't have enough money. The fire service saves the state, saves government, saves the population an average of $1 billion every year preventing damage from fires. We have those types of statistical data. We had a fire in the Bamboo. We had a fire in Dan Steel. You know how much millions and millions of dollars would have been lost in those fires? You know how much people are out of jobs? You know, these lives, what value do we put on them? When you put in the cost of a fire truck and comparing that to lives and to the kind of damage that could have been prevented, a truck may cost around, let's say a good working properly outfitted truck will come into the range of, let's say, $2 million. $2 million is a drop in the bucket of the cost that you're going to really spend if you don't have a fire truck.
Well, the reason why I ask the question is, if you're saying $2 million, and that was the figure that was bandied about in the public, yes. You're talking about $60 million to outfit the fire services, yes, with the vital reason. And that is, for the average person, it might sound like much, but in the grander scale of things, $60 million is no kind of money.
Exactly. That's the point. It's a perfect investment. It is an investment because you are encouraging foreign direct investment. One of the first thing foreign investors look to is your capacity to protect their investment. Insurance companies want to see that the state apparatus is able to deal with emergencies. And mind you, we don't only deal with fires. We deal with hazardous material spills. We deal with accidents. We deal with emergency responses in general. Whatever it is,
fire service
has to respond. So our job is to save and protect life from damage or destruction from fire or other related hazards, whether fire-related or not.
Yeah, we'll get to the short term. What are some of the suggestions for short-term relief? Let's take another call. Hello, good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call. Are you hearing me?
Yes, we're hearing you. Go ahead.
All right. Usually, a problem doesn't only have one cause or one solution. All right? And the problem with the fire service, as articulated by this gentleman here, seems to revolve up everything else besides the firemen. I used to work in Petrochin, where they used to have something called the R cars, were rental cars. And the kind of abuse that people used to do with those cars, because it wasn't their own, compared to how they would handle their own, it was shameful. And I know the fire chief had mentioned about the destructive attitudes of firemen to the RAS equipment. If them firemen get all the equipment they get tomorrow, there will be still any problem because they have no concern. They don't own anything. and they run a part of the structure.
All right, cool. Thank you so much. You know, sometimes I allow people to have their say, but that is one of the most idiotic comments that I've heard recently on the topic that we're discussing.
Well, so, I want to know, you know, I would want to know if the gentleman listened to the chief, the same chief he referred to in recent times. The chief made it quite clear. This is not an issue of the fire officers. He said clearly that he needs the support of the Ministry of National Security in order to repair trucks. I am in the service. The issues, yes, you had accidents. Accidents do occur from time to time. But by and large, 90% of the trucks that are off the run are because of the inability to maintain the trucks properly.
Mm.
The trucks are aged as well. The chief said that. These trucks have a lifespan of 7 to 10 years. Some of these trucks are over 20 years old. You have over 50% of the trucks off the run in the fire service, not because of accidents, not because of mistreatment from officers. They are off the run because they are just old. The last trucks that were bought in the fire service was about two trucks in 2017.
Mm.
Majority of trucks bought early in the 2000s.
Yeah,
so, I mean, you know.
That's, yeah, I think while it needs to be taken into the discussion, it's far-fetched that the trucks in them, that we don't have a we have a shortage of trucks because firemen mashing them up. I think that's idiotic. But let's put that aside. The short term, because we're almost out of time for the interview. We have another one that's supposed to start almost upon us.
Sure.
Let's talk about short term. So what are some of these suggestions for us to treat with the shortfall and to get us to a stage where if we have another fire, we don't run into some of the problems that we've been facing?
Well, as it is right now, the fire service has the capacity to tap into resources such as where, for example, water is needed. We will bring trucks to bear from wherever we may have them. For example, you have a fire in Santa Cruz, you're going to bring it from wherever. It's not that you wouldn't get a response. The issue here now is having the best possible response. So you will get a response in the short run. Short run measures, we could manage those. The issue is the quality of the response is what we're discussing here. The public deserves the best possible response. And the best possible response begins with each station. These stations were built for a reason. They didn't build Santa Cruz Station because they had nothing to do. They built it to service that entire side of Trinidad, including the North Coast. When you have a fire in Blanchie Shares, for example, that station has to get there. You know, Maracas, all these communities, they deserve a response as well. So what needs to happen? We have to be thinking, as you said, outside the box. We cannot go through the run-of-the-mill procedures to rectify this problem. You need intervention from the highest offices in the land, which is the ministerial or the cabinet response, so that cabinet could sit and consult with the chief fire officer, consult with all the relevant parties, come up with a step-by-step plan and execute. And get this plan in action to remedy the problem. As it is right now, nothing is being done. Mm-hmm. We are allowing these stations to run without trucks and hope that, you know, the public will somehow be saved when a fire or some incident occurs and a truck has to come from some other district. That is not good enough. We are advocating for action to be taken from the highest level. I just want to mention as well, the World Health Organization has declared in 2021 that the work of fire officers is carcinogenic. That means that you are 3 to 4 times more likely to develop cancer as a firefighter than any other segment of the population. The World Health Organization has declared that. So therefore, the government ought, just as they have been guided by the World Health Organization and other issues, they should be guided by that. We need breathing apparatus sets. The breathing apparatus sets allow us to fight fires, going to smoke-filled environments, protecting ourselves, and being able to get more intimate firefighting and rescues done. As it is right now, we have a severe shortage of breathing apparatus sets. All these are matters that need immediate intervention, thinking outside the box, as you say. But what we have now going on is not acceptable.
Mr. Ramki, soon we're going to have a part two of our discussion, because there is so much more to discuss. We have issues when it comes to the negotiations and what's been going on. We haven't even touched those in our discussion here. So we will have to have you back. I want to thank you so much for being with us here this morning. For those of you who joined us, probably we were speaking to President of the Fire Services Association, the Ramki Soon. A couple messages, and when we get back, a heat spell We'll be discussing some of the issues related to that. Stay with us.
The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.